Well, praise the Lord. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning on this fine day. If you have your Bibles, would you open up to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. My son Clive and I were pulling out of the church parking lot one evening, and he turned, and the first thing he said to me is, "I can't believe the last thing Peter did with Jesus was slept." Matthew 26, beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" We read those words, "Stay here and watch with me. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation." Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. Rise, let us be going. 4 points today. Number one, the garden is for sowing and reaping, not slumber. You know, I believe that Jesus wants to spend time with every believer in the garden. I believe he wants to lead every believer there and teach them the purpose of the garden and to show them by example the purpose of the garden. That the garden is for sowing and reaping, not slumber. We know why Jesus went to the garden. But why did he take his disciples? I believe he took his disciples to teach them some things. To teach them what it takes to usher in an hour. to teach them what it takes to take the hour at hand. What hour is at hand concerning our lives, concerning our families, concerning our church, concerning our homes, concerning the kingdom of God, concerning kingdom advancement? And so we read that Jesus kept coming back and he kept checking on his disciples, and again he found them slumbering. He would caution them, he would encourage them, and he would head off and he would begin to pray again. And he'd begin to sow and reap in the garden, and he would come back and he would find his disciples sleeping. Matthew 26, verses 39 to 41, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Verses 42 and 43, again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Verses 44 and 45, so he left them and went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Rise, behold, the hour is at hand." What was Jesus doing in the garden? I believe we can all agree this morning that Jesus is our great example and that Jesus is our pattern. What was Jesus doing in the garden? You know what Jesus was doing in the garden? He was sowing and reaping. Some deep tilling, some deep digging, some deep seeding, some deep watering, some deep reaping. And I ask this morning, can we learn from Jesus the purpose of the garden? Will we allow him to take us as his disciples on a journey into the garden? And will we allow him to teach us the purpose of the garden and to show us by example the purpose of the garden? Luke 22, verses 39 to 46, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." You know, can it be said again this morning, as I've already stated, that Jesus is our pattern, not others? We don't fall to the status quo. We don't say because there are others sleeping in the garden, everybody's sleeping and slumbering and resting in the garden, that it's all right for us, when Jesus has come and said, "Will you not watch and pray? Will you not rise? Will you not stand with me? Will you not be with me in this moment?" Jesus is our pattern. You see, the garden is for sowing and reaping. It's for ushering in an hour Matthew 26, verse 45, in the King James, it says, "Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them," I love this, "sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand." They had missed the moment. They had missed the opportunity. And the Son of Man is being betrayed in the hands of sinners. That word "hour" literally means time, a season, any definite time, point of time, moment. You see, Jesus knows what it takes. The time, the season, the moment we are being led into, we are being offered. Jesus knows what it takes to usher it in. He knows what it takes to take it by hand. It means that we cast off slumber and we take to sowing and reaping in the garden. Number two this morning, the garden is where we bury our will and take His instead. You see, Jesus wants to teach us some lessons as His followers, as His disciples. He wants to take us into the garden. He wants to teach us that it is about sowing and reaping, not slumbering. It's nice to slumber in the garden. But He wants to teach us the real purpose on this side of eternity, and He wants to teach us that the garden is a place every believer needs to come to, where we take our own will and we bury it and take the Father's will instead. And again, Jesus is the pattern. And I think if it's fitting for Jesus, it's fitting for us. Matthew 26, verse 39, "And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. I bury my will, and I take yours." Verse 42, "He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, Thy will be done." Verse 44, "And He left him, and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." I believe the Spirit of God is saying to the church this morning that the garden is where we bury our will and take the Father's will instead, that we get to that place of prayer and that place with Jesus in the garden where we say, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will." And that's a struggle for a lot of people. They want to hang on to their own will. But the only way we will find our life is if we lose our life. The only way we will find true purpose in the will of God and find what our will truly should be and truly is if we bury our own will. And so Jesus is trying to teach us. You see, our will can get us into trouble. Our will can stop the move of God. Our will can keep us from fulfilling the call of God on our lives. Because we're not willing to go further with God. Because we got too much of our will still. And it's our will that's active, it's not His will. Jesus is showing us the level of commitment this all really takes. Only His will burning inside of us can handle what we are about to walk into. And I believe that's a word for many here today. Only His will burning inside of your chest can handle what you're about to walk into. The season, the pressure, the battle, but the victory and the triumph and the glory. The cup, wow, that Jesus was facing wasn't about to go away. He said, "If this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, Your will be done." And I want to say this morning, there are some cups that cannot pass away unless we drink them. Unless we get to the place where we bury our will and take the Father's will and say, I'll drink the cup that you're putting before me. No matter what might come, no matter what I might face, I know there's victory on the other side. But you know what? There's victory on the other side only if we're willing to bury our will. Otherwise, we don't experience the victory. We don't see the salvation that could come. We don't see the freedom, the breakthrough. We don't see that hour ushered in because we're too busy satisfying our own will. When God's saying, you got to bury your will in the garden, get the spade out. Dig deep and bury it deep. Not just surface level. You know what I'm talking about? Where you're walking through and you come back to that point and you trip over your own will. Or it's easy to find. We got to bury it so deep that it's gone. Number three, the garden is where we deal with temptation. Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Now listen to what he says. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Passion Translation, do you lack the strength to stay awake with me for even just an hour? Keep alert and pray that you'll be spared from this time of testing. I think these words are incredible. Jesus is giving them an opportunity. He's giving them a chance. He's actually giving them a way out. You should have learned by now that your spirit is eager enough, but your humanity is weak. The voice reads, now maybe you're learning. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Watch and pray and take care that you are not pulled down during a time of testing. How do we deal with temptation? How do we deal with coming temptation? And I believe this with all my heart. With all that is within me this morning, we can deal with it before we even face it. How do we deal with the time of testing? How do we deal with testing that is coming? We can deal with it before we even face it. Watch and pray and keep alert and pray, receiving, like Jesus, strength from heaven. You know, I love that it doesn't just simply say watch. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Still in a position of really relaxing, taking it easy, but Jesus says, no, no, no. Watch and pray. Come up a level. This is what the garden is really for. You know, the truth is, that some never gain the strength to overcome flesh because they've given themselves to slumber or simply watching instead of sowing and reaping and burying their will in the garden. And so they just deal with flesh all the days. And they make excuse for flesh and room for flesh. When Jesus is saying, you can overcome it right here. You can overcome the temptation that you're going to face before you even face it. You can overcome the testing you are going to face before you even face it. You can be victorious now. Listen to the message. It says, stay alert, be in prayer, so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing you're in danger. There is a part of you that is eager, ready for anything in God. Listen to these words, but there is another part that is that's as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. I I mean, there's so many that have this right there, that last line. I mean, that's going on in them. So eager for God in some things, but other parts just lazy as an old dog laying by the fire. We got to bury the old dog. We got to rise if we're going to be victorious. Number four, live your life that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Matthew 26, verses 48 to 54. Now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" I mean, if you want to talk about holy restraint, this is the greatest example. And so he says, how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? The Passion Translation, Jesus said to him, "Put your dagger away, for all those who embrace violence will die by violence. Don't you realize that I could ask my heavenly Father for angels to come at any time to deliver me? And instantly he would answer me by sending 12 armies of the angelic hosts to come and protect us. But that would thwart the prophetic plan of God. For it has been written that it would happen this way." Do we have that kind of holy restraint in our lives? Heaven forbid that we thwart the prophetic plan of God. The voice reads, "Surely you realize that if I called on my Father, he would send 12 legions of messengers to rescue me. But if I were to do that, I would be thwarting the scriptural story, wouldn't I?" And we must allow the story of God's kingdom to unfold. You know, we are called to live our lives that the scriptures might be fulfilled. We are called to live our lives that the prophetic plan of God would prosper. We are called to act as a church that the prophetic plan of God over this house would prosper. We are called as families, brothers and sisters in Christ, to live our lives, to govern our homes, that the prophetic plan of God would prosper. That the scriptural story would be fulfilled. Maybe it's time we put our sword in its place. We've been trying to write things differently. You know, this is the truth this morning. Our safety and our comfort are not the primaries. The prophetic plan of God is primary. The scriptural story is primary. The fulfillment of what God wants to see fulfilled is the primary. His will is the primary. We must allow the story of God's kingdom to unfold, and that is why we live our lives that the scriptures might be fulfilled. I'm believing and praying for an awakening in the garden. We can have the worship team return this morning. How's our manner in the garden? I mean, why tell us about the slumber? Jesus wants to teach us something. Why give us this account in Scripture? It's all there to teach us. Will you let Jesus take you to the garden this morning? He's already taken all of us there as we've read the Word. to show us the purpose, and to show us what it takes. You know, I believe that the Lord gave Peter and the others an opportunity in the garden, that he gave them a chance out to save themselves from the temptation and testing to come, perhaps from the crow of the rooster. You see, he said, "Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation, lest the testing to come overtake you." You see, the denying wasn't a prophetic word that Peter had to fulfill. And we might think that was a prophetic word. It had to be in there, but it was not a prophetic word that Peter had to fulfill. And so Jesus came and he said, "I'm giving you an out. You're going to go into a time of temptation and testing. There's great victory on the other side. There's great glory on the other side. But right now you can deal with it if you'll get serious in the garden. If you'll sow and reap rather than slumber, if you'll bury your will and take the Father's will instead of hanging on to your own will, if you go deep with God, if you go deep with God, you can deal with temptation right now, you can deal with testing right now, and you're going to have to decide and determine that, God, I'm going to live my will for your will. I'm going to leave my will for your will, and I'm going to cry out with all that is within me, that the prophetic plan of God be fulfilled." Heaven forbid the prophetic plan of God is thwarted in our home or in our church or in our nation because we're too busy sleeping in the garden. Or we're too busy trying to, you know, mess around with our own will and at the same time have God's will. I think that's just so crazy, but we just got to bury it because there's freedom on the other side. And so, Lord, we want to live our lives that the scriptures might be fulfilled. A nice day in the garden, perhaps, perfect for rest and slumber, but Jesus is saying, no, the garden isn't meant for this. In glory, we can rest in the garden. But you know, I thought about that. I believe even there, I don't think we'll be resting. There's too much to take in. We'll be before his throne, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. What a day that'll be. If we back up to Genesis 3, we come to an understanding that the garden on earth was turned from a place of rest to a place of toil. And this is how it is to be until the great coming of the Lord. Genesis 3, verses 17 to 19. "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." The message reads, planting and tilling and harvesting, sweating in the fields from dawn to dusk until you return to the ground yourself. And the Amplified reads, "In sorrow and toil shall you eat of the fruits of it all the days of your life." I want to declare today that in the kingdom, in this time, in this moment of history, we need some godly sorrow and some godly toil. That's the pattern of Jesus. This is not the time to slumber. It's not the time to cast off his will and run with our own. Look at the sorrow and toil of Jesus in the garden. Look at what it ushered in. Look at what it produced. Look at what it secured. Look at how it silenced temptation. Look at how it fulfilled the word of God. And I would say to the church this morning, let Jesus be our pattern for the garden. You know, I believe that Jesus is showing us how to get strength from heaven. That's what he's showing the disciples. He said, come and watch and pray in the garden. Because what happened when Jesus was watching and praying is he was doing some deep digging and deep tilling and deep seeding and deep watering and deep reaping. You know what happened? Angels came with strength from heaven. as he was sowing and as he buried his own will. Like Jesus received the strength to take on the testing and the temptation. What does the cup represent in your life today? Are we considering the cup? I mean, I believe Jesus considered what he was about to face. He wasn't ignorant of the scriptures. He knew the prophetic plan of God. He knew what was going to take place concerning his own life. He knew what he had to go through to see victory on the other side and the glory of the fulfillment of the prophetic plan of God, the fulfillment of the scriptural story. And I'm sure for a moment, because we read of it, he looked at the cup and he said, "Oh, Father, if it's your will, can this cup pass from me?" Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? But look at how quick. He didn't wait for an answer. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." I believe we got to get past that point, because I think there are too many prayers stopping right there. "Lord, if this cup can pass from me," and we walk on. And we come back to prayer again. "Lord, if this cup can pass from me," and "Lord, if this cup can pass from me," God's saying, "Listen, you want my prophetic plan or do you want your pathetic plan? Because if you want your pathetic plan, pass on the cup. But if you want my prophetic plan, you're going to have to take the cup and you're going to have to drink the cup, and I'm going to be with you. I'm giving you strength from heaven right now. I'm visiting you with angels right now. And the testing and the temptation that you are facing will not bring you down. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus as you receive that kind of strength." It's time we silence some roosters. It's time we bury the old dog. It's time we learn from Jesus. Because you want to know the truth, we not only need this, this church not only needs this, but those outside that don't know Jesus need it. They need Christians and believers to get serious in the garden. Not that all our days we're slumbering in the garden. Hey, if Jesus wants to go and pick some other people up and bring them and teach them a lesson and whatever happens, happens. He's saying, "Rise, let's go, it's time." Let's stand this morning. I trust you can receive the word. I know we're a little over here and we have things to attend to, but the team is just going to sing this chorus out. Would you just pour out your own heart and your soul? If you need prayer this morning or you need to get right with God, would you come this morning? Don't leave without a breakthrough. And maybe that's you this morning. You've been slumbering when Jesus has said, "Watch and pray." Right now, you could rise, you could come to the front and say, "Lord, I trade my slumber, I lay it down to watch and pray." Maybe it's been your own will and you can just walk out of your seat, just a sign of surrender, and say, "Lord, I bury my will and I take the Father's will. And take the sowing and reaping, that you might see the prophetic plan of God fulfilled in your life." Let's lift this song up. Thank you, Lord.